This February, from director Paul Thomas Anderson, comes the critically acclaimed Phantom Thread.
You can sew almost anything into the canvas of a coat.
Nominated for 4 BAFTAs and now 6 Academy Awards.
When I was a boy, I started to hide things in the linings of the garments.
Including Best Picture, Best Director.
Coins, words, little messages, things that only I knew were there.
And Best Actor, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Secrets.
Phantom Thread. In cinemas Friday.
Alice Lowe, Ben Wheatley, Sally Potter, Sean Baker, Colin Farrell, Claire Foy, Florence Pugh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Ringano Nioni. We could go on, but these are just some of the trailblazing artists, directors, writers we've spoken to on the Barbican Film Podcast. We continue to explore a world of films, old and new, through exclusive interviews and insights as we head towards awards season. Plus, delve into the Barbican Screen Talk archive. Search for the Barbican Film Podcast on Acast.
Watch what crap bins. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender, and joining me today on really one of the highlights of the week, which is our day where we discuss Vanderpump Rules, it's my good friend and charming co-host Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Benjuni.
How's it going? How's the crafting mecca?
Good. I'm painting some squares for our bases, for our little awards that can withstand the weight of the gold. Wow. And then later, Annabelle DeSisto is going to come over and glue gun everything together with me. I mean, could you ask for a better life, guys?
I know. A friend with a glue gun, what more could you ask for, you know?
Girl, actually, I'm the friend with a glue gun. You think she got to bring a glue gun, girl? But I've been to her apartment, and it's like complete. It's a gorgeous apartment, and it's full of packing supply. Like, she's always packing up stuff, you know? So I was like, oh, you like to do stuff like that? Come on over.
Are you sure she just didn't take you to Staples? You're like, it's so well organized here. I can't believe how many office supplies you have in your place. Why do you have so many desk chairs?
But like with lounge chairs or whatever.
I'm going to Staples later. I need to get envelopes for our Crappies Awards. I'm so excited for that show tomorrow night. How many awards are we giving out? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11, 12. I don't know. Somewhere like that. We have a lot of categories. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we have some.
It'll be a 5-hour damn show. They're going to try and kick us out of there. And guess what? We're going to say no.
No.
Okay? No. We're not going anywhere. This is our night, you motherfuckers. Now get out and bring me some Tito's.
Yeah. Since when do award shows end on time? I'm not sure. I don't have the answer for that. But anyway,
certainly not this one.
Yeah. By the way, we should mention that one of our loyal listeners is someone whose Instagram handle is girl with a glue gun. So there, that's like,
well, there you go.
Yeah. So you guys, in case you missed yesterday's super exciting news, we have a whole bunch of live shows going on sale this Friday, all over the place. St. Louis, Kansas City, Atlanta, West Palm Beach, Philadelphia, Phoenix, San Francisco again. So go to watchcrappens.com we'll have the ticket links up for that so you can buy your tickets. And then, of course, we have shows that are already on sale, like Houston and Detroit. Houston, we are going to be recapping The Dinner Party from Hell with Alison Dubois. And we also have some Chicago shows and Irvine show. So go check it out. You come see our shows live. It's super fun. It's great to connect with other Crappens listeners, make the memories, take the photos, have anecdotes to tell all your friends in the office. It's great times. How else can I pitch it?
Make us feel good about whatever shit we paid for to go show up there and glitter, girl. I'm wearing a glitter pink jacket. I look like Siegfried and Roy. Oh, fucked something even gayer than them at the same time and produced me. I mean,
I still have to figure out what the hell I'm wearing to the Crappies tomorrow night. But we encourage anyone who is going to you know, wear, be award show chic. That's what our dress code is going to be. So I don't know what that really means, but just lean into it and see what you come up with.
Lean into the award show chic, guys. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's get this going, shall we, Benjuni?
Yeah. So
Benjamin Loon, you little loony Benjamini. You know, girl, I love a crafting / podcast day at the same time.
Yeah, I'm excited because I'm excited for when you inevitably like glue gun your finger to one of those squares that you're painting.
That's why I'm having Annabelle over for that. She'll be like, "You're gonna hurt yourself. You're drunk," and then I'll be like, "Okay, thanks."
So the Vanderpump Rules opened up with a song that's really appropriate for this moment. The song was like, "Gotta get it together, gotta get it together, gotta get it together."
My mom has white lips and nobody knows why.
She was making out with a snowman.
Mama, have you divorced Frosty yet?
Her mother would marry Frosty the Snowman, try and get its money.
Yeah, well, I don't know why I'm so mad at Sherry.
I think Frosty would have a lot more money if he would stop melting, because it's like,
yeah,
he's on everything at Christmas, but then by the time he finds a lawyer to take his copyright case and trademark case and all that stuff, like, he melts again, and then, you know, you can't just call the same lawyer 9 months later and be like, "Hey, it's me, Frosty."
Yeah, no, he is unreliable. Right? Like, he starts something and then he melts, and you're like, okay, well, I thought I had a business partner here, but it's just a snowman. So I don't know. And then he like comes back and he's like, "Baby, I miss you." And it's like, "Well, you know, I was going to go into business with you, but I do have feelings for you. I mean, I'm willing to look at this as like maybe a romantic thing." And then he melts and you're like, "Oh, fuck. Like, I thought we actually had something. I should have known better."
Yeah. And much like the cast on this show, you know, everyone's going to end up with a damn carrot as a nose.
Well, this makes sense as to why Sherry is so forgiving of Jax, because she's been dating a snowman. And so she understands what it's like to give someone multiple chances. Like,
he
all
might
right.
cheat, but at least he doesn't leave every New Year's.
So
okay, we're out. Thank you for listening. Yeah. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Sherry has been dating a snowman. And it's not even the cool new snowman Olaf. It's Frosty, like the old one.
Olaf. Get out of here, Olaf.
Frosty's so
talk
dumb.
Talk about somebody who should sue. He should sue fucking Olaf and Frozen. That's some bullshit right there. You think Frosty doesn't go feel depressed like he's an outcast and like go build his own ice castles with his mind? Of course he could, but he's not a pussy, Elsa. Okay,
you know,
he comes back and he's nice to his sister, and then he lets the town forgive him, and you know, gets his copyright money.
Listen. Frosty's a motherfucking idiot. You know why? Because Olaf has it right. He's like, "I'm going to hang out in Norway, so I'll never melt. I'm just going to be in Norway. I'll be in the Arctic Circle, which is where I belong. I may dream of sunny days sometime, but I'm going to stay in the snow." Whereas Frosty, he's so dumb, he gets locked in a greenhouse. What snowman goes into a greenhouse? Like, how does he not think about that? Who does that? AF. Like, literally, like, this snowman, he actually could be a waiter at Sir, because only a waiter at Sir would be a snowman that would get locked in a greenhouse.
And a greenhouse is, like, the hottest place. Like, do you want to lock yourself in a James Kennedy's DJ pizza oven? Go for it, idiot.
Yeah, why don't you, like, lock yourself in, like, a Mount Everest, like, exhibit?
Yeah, I think Frosty the Snowman, that song is written as a ballad, and they just tried to make it acceptable for children in the modern age, you know? Because they even sing about him like he's dead, you know? Yeah. Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, jolly thing. It's like, oh, geez.
It really was sung
by, you know, some Broadway star. Frosty!
Well, you know,
Frosty the Snowman.
A jolly, jolly thing. That's very much like a euphemism right there. Like, he's a jolly, he's like a thing. You know, you could tell that whoever wrote the song had issues. Like, they called him a jolly, jolly thing.
Yeah, they were like gay bashing him.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, listen, Frosty, you know he's annoyed everyone he's met, right?
Yeah.
That's why they call him a jolly, jolly thing. Like, they don't want to really, they're like, "Well, we'll let you make your own opinions on Frosty, but we'll just say he's a jolly, jolly thing, I guess." I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's just a thing. You know, he's not classified. We want to keep all the children away from him. Kill him in the street. And they all melt him down. They're like, "Okay, take that song that musical theater lady sang at the bar after he died and turn it into a child song." Our history is fucked in this town. I mean, in this world, you know that?
Yeah, no, it's super fucked. Well, I'm really glad we explored that. I think
me too. And so to waste more time before we get into the real recap, which I'm not going to waste time, but I do have to tell you this because I watched it after Summer House.
Oh, okay.
So I saw the end of whatever and the beginning of Watch What Happens Live. Love it. You know, I love it because I love catching Andy when they're like, okay, Andy, almost time. And he's like, oh, really? I've got time. I can do this. And then it opens with him going, welcome to Watch What Happens Live or whatever. She likes rules and she drools. It's somebody and Kristen, you know, and Kristen's like, Tom,
It was so Quad. Kristen was on there. It was Quad and Kristen. It was the strangest pairing of all time. Kristen Doty and Quad. Who
the tragedies? He's like, oh, Tom. Quad. So she came on. Yeah, he said something like, this one has too much time on her hands, and this one flies someone in to ruin a relationship because she can, or something. Yeah. And Kristen's like, ugh. And she just shrugs at the camera like, that's me, Kristen. Ruin someone's life on purpose. Ugh, Tom, ugh.
And like, then Quad just turns to Kristen and is like, I have tried, Kristen, to keep our relationship alive. I have tried, but you do not communicate with me. You do not call me on your way home, Kristen. Kristen's like, I don't know who this woman is.
She's like, you have traumatized me.
Kristen, the daffodil has it, babe.
I'm traumatized. That's Quad from Married to Medicine. For those of you who don't watch it, this was your hint.
Teaser. Your teaser as to what we have in our bonus episodes.
And that was all I had to say. Because I just like that over the years, Kristen's just become so proud of being horrible.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's me. It's a horrible person. Hitting the side of her ears on both of her shoulders, you know?
I melted Frosty. I don't care. He deserved it. Sorry. Seriously.
I took Frosty to a Sunland park. I took him to a Ibiza town, okay? I don't care. I'm not sorry.
I made fun of Rudolph. I don't care. I was one of the people that tormented him. I don't care. He deserved it.
Everyone's seriously? Like, is he red nosed because of Coke? Was it because of pasta?
It's not about the Rudolph.
It's not about pasta. Like, literally, someone posted this today, so I saw this part too. He's like, so are people saying that pasta is code for Coke? And she's like, literally, I ate the pasta. Like, it was literally pasta.
There was
like,
a so pasta. So
literally
special.
Pasta? She's like, literally. Literally, I'd ate it. Like, Kristen would eat the Coke. You're like, damn it, Kristen. That was expensive. I would have bought you a slice for $2.
Frosty gave that to us.
You guys, I apologize in advance for those people who are listening for the first time. Like, this isn't even a Vanderpump Rules recap. That's right.
It's be like, they Ronnie talked Frank. For 10 minutes about a snowman. They didn't even get into it. I'm giving up on this podcast. Well, see you later.
Ronnie's brain is on vacation today.
You get the all right, Ben,
it is. Guide me along. I'm on my 10th. My 10th blue box.
Yeah, Ronnie's basically huffing through this podcast with all the fumes from those model paints that you're using. So,
and your old pencil paint from Depot.
You're like, I'm just using some whiteout over here. So,
our awards are like little pasta pieces covered in like old glue.
Could you imagine if we made our award crappy things out of Fusilli, like Fusilli Jerry? You know, like little.
I considered it.
Really?
I love a pasta string. Okay. But I was like, that's not fun. You can't make, like, jewelry. Like, here's your pasta necklace. Congratulations on your win, Ramona Singer, who's probably going to be there live.
Yeah. So the episode opens up where we left off, which was Jax coming home to discover a surprise visit from Sherry, a.k.a. Brittany's mom. And basically the Taco Bell coven is in the apartment with Sherry and Brittany. And Kristen... Kristen is very proud of herself because she knows that Sherry is going to destroy the relationship. She's like, there aren't enough adjectives to describe how badly I want to break them up. I'm like, you know, you could just always sleep with him again. Worked the first time.
No kidding. And while you're at it next time, try sucking the peanut butter M&Ms out the sides of the couch, Kristen. Make yourself useful.
Sounds
so
delicious.
She's like, yeah, every one of my girlfriends that's dated Jax, Carmen, Lauren Gomez, this girl, that girl,
Anastasia Krupnik,
the napkin rolls, Joe Sushef, the dishwasher,
Sherry, the lamb chop lady. Yeah, she fucked Jax,
Snuffleupagus. You know, like they were all better than Jax, like every single one of them. But like Brittany is like better than Jax. So like. So what, you used your Southwest miles to bring her in? Shut up, Kristen.
So Jax is the worst liar in the world. He's like, they're like, everyone's like, Jax, are you surprised to see Sherry? Jax. He's like, I'm not nervous at all. I'm happy to see you. Hi, I'm happy to see you. I'm like, where did that voice come from, Jax?
This is his initial reaction. I recorded the sound. Okay, hold on. Let me press play. Hey. That was it. He was like, oh Jesus. He just started like cleaning house.
And he has
clean that nose up. Oh Jesus. These girls are gonna know I have coke. They're gonna go through my entire apartment.
And his first instinct is to go, well, you know, I can't say I gotta get you a gift. I gotta get you a gift. I can't be here. I'm gonna get you a gift. Like, there's no obligation for you to get a gift right now. That is the worst excuse to get out of the apartment. Like, at that point, you could have just been like, I gotta see the urologist. The bumps are back, you know?
Yeah. His idea of a gift is like, you know, we all know that it's like a Google image search of a diamond ring that he's never gonna buy Brittany. So he's like, I'm gonna get you a gift. And by a gift, I mean a blowjob for me in the smoking alley of Sir. God, I hope it's not Joe Sous-Chef again. God, that guy has some sharp teeth.
And then what's her face, the mom, what's her name again? Sherry. Oh, that's probably why I said Sherry before. I was like, why is the word Sherry?
Sherry's Barry's.
I
remember, but
you
turned her back into Sherry the Sherry pork Lewis. Chop lady.
I turned Sherry into Sherry Lewis. We're really going to like a childhood place between Frosty Snowman and Lamb Chop. But anyway, Sherry's probably like, JX, while you're out getting me a gift, can you get me some new lipstick? He's like, okay. No, it's not actual lipstick. It's one of those pans, you know, that you write in bar mitzvahs and stuff. It's silver. I can use my lips.
Speaking of white out.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to do an arts and crafts day here with my family with some white. Just get me some white out. I'll make awards out of my lips. So he leaves, and then Brittany and the mom are alone, and she's like, so Brittany, how are you? I'm here for you. That's why I lost 30 pounds to come here, wore a skin tight shirt with my bra showing. How's it going? She's like, Mom, I'm heart hurt. And just because he came inside me today doesn't mean that he can, like, live inside me, okay? Because I have power and strength as a woman.
Because I let him come inside doesn't mean I'm ready to let him come back, if you know what I'm saying.
He can come inside me, but he can't stay inside, especially if he keeps turning off the air conditioner while I'm upstairs.
By the way, shout out to all the listeners who let their kids listen to the podcast.
Again, I know there's something about that when you're like, my kids love this show, even when they curse. The next day we're coming back talking about coming inside, saying the F word 20. There's something about that. And I apologize.
Yeah, I apologize too, but I will not change anything.
So let's see. The mom's like, well, you know, I know that must be hard. Because then every time he gets a text, you're like, who is this? Who is this?
What's a text? Who is this? what are those letters? Emoji?
I don't even like eggplants. Et cetera.
Do you know they just released new emojis? There's one with a guy with the dollar signs and the eyeballs. I don't understand it because no one has dollar signs as eyeballs. You can't see through dollars, can you?
She does. Sherry does. She's like, do not leave him. She goes, Jax might not be the right one for you. Maybe the right third or fourth, but not the right one. I mean, the first one you should at least try and believe in.
So then we go over to a place called Jack and Jill's 2. I love when a restaurant is a sequel, you know?
But it's a sequel to like a child's clothing place.
Yeah.
They have a place in the Grove called Jack and Jill.
Yeah, it was like a very Jack and Jill night on Bravo, actually, because Jack and Jill is also referenced on Summer House, oddly enough. So, but either way, it's Jack and Jill's 2 for lunch, and it's Katie and Lala in a surprising twist, because they're trying to have one-on-one time to get to know each other as ladies and really, like, form a real friendship. And you can tell Katie was really committed to this because she wore a really tight bow around her neck, probably to, like, choke out any bitchy comments she was planning to say. Like, anytime she's about to say something, she just pulls on her belt. Literal gag order.
Like when people put those rubber bands on their wrists and they're like, I want a cigarette. Ow! They snap themselves.
Yeah.
Well, my theory on her odd scarf was, okay, look. A, Katie, just advice. This isn't a theory. Peach and orange don't go together. I don't know who told you they did, but that's terrible, so change. Two, she's like, I'm hanging out with a total whore, so I'm going to make her think that maybe I do have hickeys and that, you know, my husband does fuck me. Or she was just like, at the very least, I'm going to be the top of the pink girl chain or the pink lady chain on Greece. I don't know what she was doing, but ain't nobody scared of you, bitch.
Yeah.
So Lala.
I like to think, by the way, her peach and orange bow was an homage to her season two hairstyle.
You know, she got a lot of shit for that hair, but looking back, it was kind of her best look ever, right?
I actually never really minded it as much as everyone else did.
I thought it was horrible, but now when I see it, I'm like, really? If you, it's like on the evolutionary chart, that was the best Katie.
Yeah, that was when Katie and Kristen still viewed themselves as models, so they were trying to be avant-garde occasionally.
Yeah. So, they always had sugar cubes in their pocket. Oh, the days.
So Lala tells us, or maybe she tells Katie, who knows, but she says, I literally am the type of person that can just forgive and forget. And by the way, anytime anyone says that, I never trust them. I believe they're always remembering and they're never forgiving.
Well, at least it's not that one where she's like, you know what? I can forgive stuff, but I never forget it. It's like, Fuck you. Then why are we even having lunch? You need to forgive it and forget. I mean, not forget it, but don't tell me that like I'm going to be on probation with you forever. You know?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm of the Lauren Conrad school of I want to forgive you and I want to forget you. That to me is the best way to do it. I'll forgive you, but I'm also going to forget you.
Yeah, and she was also like, bye, I'm a billionaire now. I'll never be on TV again. Bye!
Yeah, exactly. So so they're talking about Sheena, of course. I like that Katie says that she's like, you know, I thought Sheena was high maintenance as a friend, but it turns out she's also high maintenance as an acquaintance.
Katie's like, yeah, you know, here we are, but we don't have the best track record. And then we see a clip of Katie going, you're mad because I called you a whore? Well, I speak the truth.
And more importantly, we see Lala saying, well, I see no one here has been working on their summer bodies. Which is one of the greatest quotes of all time.
I know. Katie's like, kale salad, please. Kale salad.
With iceberg, please.
She's like, I want to see you publicly for a meal so you can watch me refuse to eat anything publicly because I like health and I really need you behind me. Okay? Yeah. That'd be great.
So Lala's on a big feminist kick this episode, really this season, and she's like, I just want the power of the pussy. I just want every single pussy to just fucking get along. I'm like, well, good luck on this show.
If your D lists as a rover from my P or from my V, your V should still wave at my V because pussy! Like, okay, Lala.
Nothing brings the pussies together by reminding people that you might be too ugly to be flying private. I want all the pussies to come together. And by the way, if you've never flown private, you probably just are not ugly, not good enough.
Look, your face wasn't pretty enough to get you on a private jet, but that doesn't mean our pussies can't be friends. Pussies don't have faces. The pussy with no face.
Pussies feminism.
Have pussy will travel. It doesn't really matter.
Power pussy. 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 Pussy.
So speaking of pussy. What? We go to Sir and Lisa Vanderpump shows up in a pussy bow. This is like it was all making sense. It's all thematic.
Oh, Peter, guess what? I would like a nice shot of Julio Blanco. How about that? What do you think of that odd order, Peter?
And Peter, like, Peter, by the way, has, you know, he's working through his look at the moment. I think he's workshopping some new things. This episode, he had a little bit of like a flapper look. Like I was definitely getting some, you know, Zelda Fitzgerald vibes off of his like wavy hair, you know, that was swept to one side. But he pours Lisa the shot, and then she goes, well. He looked like a flapper.
Sorry, a man takes flapper. Me a minute. I'm imagining all of Cabaret happening right now.
He was.
He's like welcome in. Bienvenue, welcome, Lisa.
I mean, I was getting, like, his hair, you know what his hair looked like? It looked like Catherine Zeta-Jones in Chicago. What was her character's name again?
And just like in Chicago, he never changes costumes. He's always just in the same suit.
He's stuck in Sir Jail.
Like, don't you guys have a Broadway budget for this? Why is everybody always in just tights? Why?
He's like, they had it coming. So Peter hands Lisa this shot. He's like, in all my years at Sir, I have never seen Lisa order tequila. I've also never dressed like a flapper before, but hey, I guess today's a new day for anything.
I've also not smelled like body odor. There was a lot of knots in that sentence, but I feel like anybody who follows Vanderpump Rules got it.
Yeah.
So
Lisa goes, well, now this is for you. Happy birthday. See, I remember everything.
And so do you, right? For example, I let you pour yourself a drink off of my tab, and now you get to go make me tea, because birthday or not, you work for me, Peter.
And he's like, oh, don't do it happily, tea lady. God, my life is great.
That was so nice of her to give him a free drink when he could have gotten the free drink anyway, just by going.
I know, he's like, he's the manager. Is this literally all I'm getting? Thanks.
I remember.
Are some wet naps.
I remember, Peter, it's your birthday. I mean, to be fair, there was a production rundown that said tomorrow night shooting at Peter's birthday party, but I remembered anyway.
I felt really sad in this episode because you know Sheena's a broken woman when they show them like, work, work, work. And Sheena has one of those big martini glasses and she just puts it down without saying anything. Because the best thing about Sheena is like, oh my God, Chilean sea bass. Oh my God, I can't believe we have pasta special. That's nuts. We haven't had that in a long time. Hi.
Yeah.
Or whatever she's doing when they show her waiting tables. And today is just like,
she's in her own head. She can't even marvel at the presence of, you know, a beet salad.
I want to say something about the beet salad, but I just can't get the words out today.
I'm like the salad, beat down. Beat down by the other girls who ruin my relationship and want me to be miserable.
I'm beat down and a little cliche.
So Lala sees Sheena and Lala's like, how are you? And she goes, good.
Good. So how is lunch with now that you're best friends with Katie?
And Lala's like, baby
mama's like, she was cool, baby mama. She didn't say anything about you.
Yeah?
She goes, yeah, because you'd tell me if she did.
She's like, yeah, my pussy would for sure.
Oh, yeah, hi, pussy. Hi, pussy. Hi. Oh, my God, I love that our pussies are talking right now. It's intense. I need to stop wearing tights.
So Sheena is...
My pussy can't understand your pussy. Did you gag your pussy? No, sorry.
It's wearing thick underwear.
Sometimes I wish my pussy would be quiet because I'm just trying to think about Rob. And I'm like, Rob doesn't want to always hear the pussy talking. And it's like, you know, because Rob doesn't make out a lot. And I just feel like it's really cool that we had a pasta special. But like, I don't know. I wish Rob were here. I got my smile back.
Got my smile back.
So let's see.
So Sheena's still mad about these rumors. And Lala is, you know, again, she's in this mode and she's just like, you know, I feel like it's our job as women to forgive each other and just forget the bullshit, you know? Like, we can't be having these rumors, da 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 da. Lala somehow got this misguided sense that she could bring these women together. It's not going to work, but I support it fully.
Well, it's my favorite kind of Bravo. It's Bravo feminism, you know? It's like, I'm going to rip them down and then try and glue them together and show how weak they are. Yeah. And she even knows it. She's like, I was a tall tale, so sorry, mama. Whoops, mama. But, like, mama. It started in a closet and it ended at Tocamadera. So it's our job as women to forgive each other and move past this bullshit. Pussy talk. Straight pussy talk, okay? She's like, so Sheena, you can do this. How do you just get past panic attacking every time you go out there? She's like,
well, if we could stop serving chili and sea bath, that would help. Oh, I still can't say it.
Do you know that Chilean sea bath is actually called Patagonian toothfish? That's so crazy.
Remember when I broke my tooth at my party?
Remember that one time I thought my TiVo was my microwave oven and I was like trying to put food in my TiVo and it was like bonk bonk.
So now we're going to go over to a joint birthday party between Peter and Carter. It's basically under Five's day.
Yeah.
They're going to have a big table set up with Cheetos and like some grape rolled grape leaves and Diet Cokes and that's it.
Yeah, and I guess that there has been some progress on the feminist front, because this is Peter's first co-ed birthday. So, hey, like, congratulations on making it past, like, 1919, you know? Yeah. I guess that's why he has his flapper hair.
He's like, we'll always have the country club. Am I right, guys?
So Lala,
I think once Peter became the only guy to not get posse on his birthday, he was like, what am I bringing all these guys out of town so I can watch them get laid? Okay, yeah. Next time Lisa Vanderpump is paying for this.
He's like, I'm just going up the street to State Social House and just being done with it. I want to Uber home afterwards. So Stassi comes in and Lala's like, oh, you are more gangster for wearing your own name than I am. And even Stassi's like, is that gangster? It's like, oh yeah, it's gangster AF. It's like, or just really basic, like super basic and not gangster at all.
So the worst part about living next to Katie, you know, besides always wondering where your condiments have gone when you open the fridge, is that she's like, I could hear him last night, and Jax was not amped about the Sherry surprise. You know, Jax is just like throwing things across the room that aren't his. It's like throwing everything across the room that he doesn't know.
Now, to be fair, Katie may have been confused because she could have been just listening to her radiator crank or clank. It's like clank, clank, clank. Oh, God, Jax is really mad.
Tom. She just hears the air conditioner like... But Jesus, he's gonna have a heart attack.
Here's the refrigerator power up. Oh my God, he's really pacing now.
as a person who, as a waiter who lives in a poor ass apartment, I can tell you the sounds they make. Okay, every single sound they make.
She's like, I'm concerned about his bowels too. I feel like something is wrong down there. It's like, Katie, you're listening to the ice machine. It's like...
So, is kind of cutting all over the place.
Yeah. But James and Raquel show up. James and Raquel show up. So they're there. Katie's saying that Jax wasn't happy about Sherry, and Jax is complaining to James about Kristen meddling. You know, he's all pissed. He knows exactly why Sherry is there.
And he puts it in the way that only Jax can. He's like, the best part is Kristen's involvement. Why don't they just let a dead horse die? It's like they keep kicking me. That's exactly what I think every time I think back to Tom Sandoval finding out that Jax fucked his girlfriend. He goes,
yeah, bro, but his breath is so bad.
Like, that's the worst thing he could think of.
Yeah.
This is dead horse breath.
Yeah. So, Brittany and Sherry show up. And then to add some fun to the mix, we get another surprise, which is Brittany's sister, Tiffany. She shows up as well. And Jax is even more unhappy because basically Jax and Tiffany did not get along on that spinoff show that they had.
It's funny that you phrased it that way, because that's probably just how Sherry described the sister when she was born. Look, it's your surprise.
Surprise, you have a
yet
sister.
Yet another surprise.
Somehow she's 6 years older than you, but she's coming out now.
I was careful to say not to Brittany surprise. Okay, oh. There's other people in that family that could have been surprised.
We got Tiffany. Now let's only feed her soda water. So Kristen is like, we did it, like George W. Bush on like the like Mission Accomplished banner, like hands up in the air, you know.
No kidding. The war in Iraq ended like 13 years ago or some shit. Nope. Never yeah. Gonna end.
Yeah, exactly. So Sherry tells Tiffany, Sherry, Brittany, and Tiffany are sitting down. Those names, I mean. And so she's basically like, so Tiffany, did you hear the news? Jax, sure you did. And so Tiffany's face is like, what a fucker.
I know, and I don't know what happened to her eyebrows, but I love it. I like thinking of her just falling asleep against, like, a radiator, or I don't know what happened. She's just got, like, two little commas above her eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm here. And Jax is like, who else is coming? Meemaw, the tractor driver, the donkey, the sheep.
Lamb chop.
Brittany's like, she goes, tell her what happened. Brittany's like, well, he turned off the AC after I packed that popcorn in Ziploc. And her mom's like, well, that's a soft way to put it. He cheated on her.
yeah, that's actually how it was.
The sister's like, I mean, come on. No, I like him, but if he wants to cheat on you, then bye.
Yeah, Tiffany's the only one with any common sense in that family, by the way. She's the only one who's like, why are you sticking around with this piece of turd? Like, goodbye, goodbye. We have more sensible pieces of turds back in Kentucky, and those actually won't cheat on you. And they're real turds.
Either turn that turd into it. Never mind. Okay, so.
So Lisa walks in.
Sometimes it's good to know just never mind.
Yeah.
So, never mind it.
So Lisa walks in and she's like, oh, there's Billy, my new trans hostess. And she's like, there's Billy. And she puts like a hand on Billy's shoulder and starts to walk by. And Billy's like, no, I am getting a full on kiss with Lisa Vanderpump right now. And she basically pulls Lisa in for a kiss. And you can see Lisa Vanderpump was like, now, you have to work your way up to that, Billy.
Listen now, just because I call you Billy Lila doesn't mean that you've come to the same level as Lala. Lala was a little bird that was pushed out of the nest and learned how to fly in her own Range Rover, Billy Lee. Now, when do you turn into a tractor or a semi-truck?
She's like, that's trans, actually. That's a transformer, actually.
Oh, all these new terms. I'm here for you, whichever large vehicle you decide to be. Billy Lila!
Do you mind if I call you Bumblebee?
Actually, yes, because, like, tuna is a stereotype, so...
I was referring to the popular Transformer. I'm up with pop cultures. So
I love the idea of Lisa Vanderpump sitting around watching the Transformer movies.
Did you see that one coming, Ken? I'll bet not.
I mean, it's awful what they do to downtown Los Angeles, Ken. We have to do something. We have to raise money for the people whose buildings were hurt by the Decepticons.
Those Transformers better not have touched the trans doggies.
I'm having a fundraiser, and we're going to march down to downtown, and we're going to say, no more Decepticons in Yulin.
How do you say Decepticons in Yulinese, darling?
I've made a documentary about all the travesties that Decepticons unleash on Los Angeles. I want you to watch it. Ken, did you see it? Did you see it? I saw it. The things that I saw in downtown Los Angeles.
So stupid. And that guy is the same guy. He's like,
oh my god, hi, made your movie, Yulin. The song's name is Peanut Yulin.
We've
it's
opened
like the
up...
guy who runs the dog place, the movie production company, the catering place at Sir.
He now works at Vanderpump Robots. We adopt little robots. So that way they don't get murdered by Decepticons.
Vanderpump bots.
Vanderpump bots. So,
Billy Lila does love her some Lala. And look, if you're going to base your new face off anybody, I've said it a million times already, base it off Lala. I like 2 years ago Lala, you know, which is probably when that started. But don't pick a picture on Facebook where Lala looks like really surprised by something, because that's what you get stuck with. Because Billy's face is like, she looks like she's doing that every time I look at her. She's like,
yeah, she does. She does look like she just witnessed something in Clue. Do you guys know that there's a secret passage to the conservatory back there?
They're like, yes, Billy. Ever since Billy started her journey, she's been noticing secret passages and stuff.
Can someone tell Billy we're not at a dinner party hosted by a butler? Are you sure about that? Because there's a secret passage back there.
Men are like tissues, soft, strong, and disposable.
There was okay. A telegram who got shot. Does anyone want to know? Okay.
Oh my god. Why are we even doing this?
Let's see, Frosty the Snowman. This is mainly my fault, because it's just one of those days where my brain is just going in weird places. Frosty the Snowman, Transformers, Clue.
So, yes, Vanderpump shows up, and let's see. She's like, Peter, darling, are you drunk? And he's like, a little. And she goes,
good, be drunk. Be drunk, Peter. I approve. Now get me some tea.
Peter. I would like, I know what I would like, a cosmopolitan, and it's for you to got you again.
Peter, could you hand me that bowl of nuts on the bar? Thank you. They're for you.
Peter, can you pass me a straw? It's for your drink! Gotcha! Bumped!
So Jack, back over with Jax and the sister and Brittany. Jax is like, so you're staying at our place, right?
Yeah.
I guess you're just staying at our place. Yeah. I mean, it's up to you. And she goes, yeah, you're going to leave everything up to me, Jax. Yeah, you're very powerful, Brittany.
And he can't even, he's so bad at hiding his disdain about this whole thing. He's like, no, yeah, we got space. Yeah. Yeah, but sure, come stay with us. Yeah, that'd be really, would love that. He's not even smiling. He's just like...
He hates them.
Hates them. And he does this thing where he takes his whole hand and he puts it over his eyes and then just drags it all the way down his face. And he just keeps on doing that all episode long.
And you know what? I don't blame him for hating them, because they, if this was any normal family... Well, first of all, I don't know that a normal family would show up to scream at the boyfriend, but if they did... They would be like, leave his ass. How many times does he get to cheat on you? But this family is just keeping him strung along for their spinoff. And of course, no, he knows that. So he's being used too.
I'm not as cynical as you. I don't think they're keeping him strung along for the spinoff. I think it's because this is, unfortunately, these are habits that are kind of hardwired into people. And Sherry is probably like Brittany and, you know, wants to fix people and wants to see the good, wants to give someone another chance. And so she raised daughters.
She's been married four times.
Well, either way, she's probably, you know, like the point is that she's raised a daughter who's essentially a doormat, you know? And so I don't think they're there to get a spinoff. I think they're there because it's like they already got
a spinoff.
They got the spinoff.
They're there to get that. They're there hoping for a season two.
I just don't think that they're crafty enough.
I don't need you to agree with me, but I will agree that they're not crafty enough as I craft.
Yes. So importantly, oh God, who is calling me? Decline. You guys can't
seriously
hear it. Could you hear that?
Yes.
You could hear the dun dun. Okay, you probably heard it through my headphones. Right?
I heard the.
It's the. You know. Motherfucker. It's probably just tires. Because I got everyone. Thank you for being with me during this tough time. There was a nail in my tire, and I discovered it when I went to Starbucks. I was feeling so proud of myself, because I was like, I'm going to get a chocolate croissant, because yesterday was National Croissant Day. Oh, they're calling again. Stop it.
My God, why do we need to fucking talk about tires? They're like, oh, now your belts are down.
I'm
now
like, just fix the tire. Belt. Just fix the tire. I said I'm
you're
not going to be free.
You're called
just tires.
Just do the tires.
Yeah, and you, just tires, not just tires and phone calls. So
also,
anyway,
how about just text me, just tires?
Yeah,
like,
how about
why
that
do I
too?
Need to have a conversation?
Well, either way.
I'm like so mad about tires right now.
I'm so mad. And the thing is that, you know, the things with mechanics, you decline their call and then you don't hear from them for like 10 more hours. So it's like, ugh, but whatever. Vanderpump Rules is more important. And here's another thing that was hilarious at the party. Stassi, who is not really very present in this episode, she tells us that her boyfriend Patrick went to Amsterdam without her. He went, did he go with bros or something like that? But he went without her, and then you see a flashback of them talking about it, and she's like, so, are we going to talk about the fact that you're going to Europe without me? And he's like, yeah, but think about it as a good experience for me.
Yeah, we saw that one, remember? And he was saying,
did we already see that? I thought that was a new flashback.
No, he had talked about it because that was how they started that dinner or whatever, where she's like, look, he's great. Everything's great. I'm really happy. He's a great guy. And he's like, yeah, I don't want to talk about when we were apart, because like what happens when we're apart is really none of your business.
Oh,
like he
yeah.
said something shitty like that. And I was like, oh, yay, another abusive boyfriend, another emotionally abusive cheating ass boyfriend.
I blocked it out.
At least this one can make statements about, like, you know, when it rains, you bring an umbrella. But like, you don't know if it's going to
so
rain.
Witty. Oh, my God.
I mean,
so
otherwise,
witty.
You know, you're just that guy in the car with an umbrella in his trunk. And no one really gets it until it's raining. And then they're like, that guy got that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No.
So
cut
witty.
Your hair, sir.
So witty. Yeah, cut your hair, Wreck-It Ralph. Just felt appropriate
stop,
to call him
stop
that.
Looking at your phone to figure out if that was just tires. I feel you.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I'm checking this number in the internet database.
No, I'm literally not. I was listening to you. Was it weird that I just wasn't interrupting you? Is that what it was?
Yeah. Why would you? why would you do that?
I was fully listening to you. I actually was not looking. I would say I'm getting distracted right now. I got to put my phone. I would say something that like makes, you know, to bring awareness. Like I'm not being unself. I can't. I'm getting caught up in negatives here. So either way, Lisa Vanderpump. We're only on the first fault. 10 minutes of the show, by the way. I just want to.
Okay, we
out.
Can speed through. It's like 45 minutes. We, oh, no. 50 minutes we've been talking. I blame Frosty.
Frosty. What? No. So anyway, so Lisa sits down next to Sherry, and Lisa is just leading Sherry because Sherry's like, "Ha, I'm just an empty vessel for thoughts." And Lisa's like, "So, you don't want him to be with your daughter anymore, right?" She's like, "No, I don't think so." You seem so emotional.
Like she, when she came into this scene, she was like one of those like contrail planes passing overhead. She's like,
"Hello, mother. Let us talk about cloud seeding and Jax."
She's like, "Well, unless there's a big change in Jax." And you know that Vanderpump is just looking at her like, "Aren't you adorable with your skin-tight dress and the bra showing through? Because no one has taught you proper bra usage yet." Oh!
I can't wait to tell her that the world is round. So she's like, "You seem so emotional.
This bird is too old. She'll break the nest. Some hens are just ready to be cooked. Carry on, Sherry's mom."
I can help a broken bird, but when it comes to ostriches, it's just too much. Sherry's saying all that stuff, and Lisa goes, "Brittany loves him so much, it's unbelievable." And you know, Sherry's like, "I know, isn't it sweet?" And you know, in Lisa's head, she's like, "I mean, it's unbelievable that she could be so daft."
Literally, unbelievable. As in, I don't believe it. Did you know that your daughter showed up to get a job here in her underwear? That might have been her first problem, darling. You know, you're not born with a book when you have a baby. There's no book that teaches you how to be a parent. Not that you'd have read it anyway. Am I right, Sherry's mom?
Sherry's mom. Speaking mom. To the ghost of Sherry's mom. Do we have hello, my eyes are closed. I'm doing a seance. Is Sherry's mother here? She is.
She's wearing a terrible bra as well.
So Brittany wants Jax to say something to Sherry, and Jax is like, "Just not now. I'll do it later, so it's fine." And then Lala, meanwhile, she gets into a very Jezebel sort of place, and she's like, "I feel like I need to explain to these bitches what New Age feminism is."
You need to explain to all us bitches what it is, because if it means fucking old fat dudes and getting Range Rovers until they dump us, I'm in.
Hey, it's her choice. It's her choice. Yeah. New Age feminism, you know? So okay. Lala's like decided her example of New Age feminism is going to be being a peacemaker for Sheena and Katie, you know, because they're just making these saying these rumors and retaliating, whatever. She's like, "We're sitting the fuck down." And then James just happens to be there and he's like, "No, we're not sitting the fuck down. Huh, I'm just kidding. But seriously, listen, she felt a certain sort of way." And then like Kristen's like, "James, no, shut up." He's like, "Kristen, can I talk?" It was like this very bizarre moment of like voices and pitches and tones.
Yeah, James had some weird stuff going on with his accent. He's very like, "I'm a rapper, I will be strut. Nah, I'm going to be strut." I'm like, why are you talking in a Cockney accent all of a sudden? It's really weird.
Yeah,
he does it a lot more later in the tennis scene, but right now she's like, "I am obsessed with Sheena and we are settling down. No!" Kristen's like, "Here's what I have to say." And Sheena goes, "You know what, Kristen? Stop inserting yourself in every single thing around here. You're like Jax, but like with a personality. Stop inserting yourself. Stop it. Stop it."
At which point Lala freaks out. She's like, "I am done. I am done with every single person sitting there blaming each other for what the fuck is going down. Let's, as a united fucking front, as women, come together. What the fuck is going on here?" It's like, whoa, chill, Lala, chill. Too much pasta. Like,
it is amazing watching Lala lose her shit ass, okay? And it's also nice having, like, a new friend who's, like, insane.
Oh, my God. This, people are calling again.
Turn off your goddamn phone.
I can't help it. I can't help it. My phone is off. It's my laptop is ringing. I can't help it.
You have to turn it off in settings, darling.
Darling, they are really insistent right now.
If they call
one more time, I will answer it. Okay, I'm just warning everyone. I've been pushed to the limit.
With just tires, it's Jesus. Just
tires, but they work. I'm like quite furious. Well. I'm furious too. I'm like, gosh darn it, for them being on top of shit. Oh, now they sent a text message. It's about time. Okay, let's see what Just Tires says. Voicemail to text. Hello. What the fuck is that? Their voicemail is hello.
I'm at the bottom of places.
Okay, well, as it turns out, Just Tires managed to mess up Ronnie's microphone, and so we had to pause anyway. The Just Tires situation has been handled. We can move forward, which is good. I actually feel like tires is a great visual metaphor for Brittany, right? Just something like road hard and going in circles.
Or Jax, really, because there's one point later where they're boxing, and Jax is, it's not like a regular boxing thing. It's like shaped like Homer Simpson. It basically looks like Jax in maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
Just, so, you know, tires.
You know, tire, or burning tire fire. A lot of these associations work with this show. So anyway, back to Peter's party. Yeah. So now things start to flare up with Sheena and Katie.
Yes, so Stassi, you know, has just loved Lala, and Lala's like, then I am done, feminism, blah! So she goes off, and Billy's still looking like this.
Really? That's such a good observation.
It was cracking me up, because it's also kind of like Norma Desmond eyes for anybody who's ever seen Sunset Boulevard. She's very like, I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. Jamil. It's like, there's always that little part of just show lover in you still, you know? No matter how much you grow and change in life, there's always that little boy who loves Norma Desmond.
Yeah.
So Billy is like, I just put Billy, Eyes So Wide, which sounds like a movie. And Sheena's like, you're so fake, Katie. You're like sexy Katie. Katie. Bang and back Katie.
I love how Katie's on her redemption tour now. Like, oh, because last year you were such a bitch. Now you're on a redemption tour. And now you're such a fake Katie.
And then, yes, as you were about to say, Tom comes
so
in.
So Schwartz comes in because, you know, and he comes in literally wiping his nose, which I loved. So he's like, you know what, Sheena, look at your nails. You're like the fakest person here. You're like a bootleg Kardashian. Everyone's like, burn! Burn! Burn!
And he's like, you only care about selfies. And Sheena's like, and all you care about is making out with other chicks. It's like, ooh, wow. Sheena did kind of have a good comeback.
Yeah, all you care. And he's like, she goes, oh, look at Schwartz standing up for his wife for the first time ever.
That's what you do, Schwartz. That's what you do. You make up with other girls.
So Katie's like, oh my God, fuck you. And they go away. And then Sheena starts sobbing to Lala, Billy, and Ariana. And she's like, these girls are fucking bitches. I don't need this right now. I'm going to do me out. Where's my smile? Where's my smile? Missing smile. Stop torturing my smile.
And Ariana's like, guys, Sheena's being super genuine right now.
She's trying to explain what Sheena's saying. Sheena's like, blah,
blah. She's like the sign language. Sheena.
She's like, Sheena is being super genuine right now. She's saying that her feelings are hurt. It's like the most beautiful sign language ever.
There is a fire on San Vicente Boulevard. Just south of Cynthia Street. Maybe in the post office. No, in the former American Apparel. Yes, that's it. Get there now.
Katie has eaten Lassie. The end.
So, Lala, I guess, because Ariana's like trying, I mean, Sheena's talking to Lala and is like feeling, she's basically saying, like, listen, you know, you're gonna get burned by her. She's super fake because you saw what they did to me last year, because then you saw how I treated you last year. It's because basically the way what they made me feel about you, and like, you're gonna get sucked in and you're gonna like start feeling certain things. And that's when Lala's like, listen, babe, you have nothing to worry about. You may have PS, what is it?
PTSD.
Yeah, PTSD, but guess what? Like a good PTSD, you're stuck with me, baby.
Don't forget, it's never post-traumatic STD syndrome, okay? Because that shit never leaves you, okay? Let our pussies hug. and share what each other has. It'll be like wearing each other's pussy ponchos.
That sounds fun. So.
I'm in! My pussy founder smile back.
You gotta love this show, that this whole fight only, like Real Houses of New York City, this whole fight only took place at the 20-minute mark. Like, I think New York City is the only other show that could have a major flare-up, and it still doesn't qualify as being the thing that is at the show climax. That's why you gotta love Vanderpump Rules.
We still have better parts later.
Yeah. So we
this
now,
is just the under five party.
Yeah. So now we go to Lala and James playing tennis. James is like, that's a safe girl.
You're getting lessons, right? What? Who are you? So he's like, you're getting lessons, right? And she's like, yeah, I just started. So don't, like, do it so fast. Like, I don't like when balls fly in my face, asshole. Only some balls. And he's
get
like,
it.
Gross. Like, yeah, At first, I put, her face is insane in sunlight. Now, the only reason I would say that is because this is one of the most gorgeous girls. I think she's so beautiful. And despite what I'm saying her about this year, I actually really like her on the show.
She's Lala. Everyone loves
but
Lala.
She's beautiful, but it makes me nuts that she's doing this shit to her face so young. Stop it. You're going to look fucking crazy by the time you hit 30. You're already looking crazy. But then when they get really close up on her face, she's not wearing makeup, and she's still stunning. It's like, what the hell?
Her stuff is all settling in nicely. It's not looking as crazy as it used to, which it's nice. She just sort of is now looking more natural for someone who has unnatural features, you know?
We're just getting used to it. It's like when you live in LA and you just get used to this shit. Yeah. And then you leave to Boston for a while and you come back and everybody looks like they're in Howard the Duck. So, yeah. You live in a crazy place.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, there are people who are in that movie who live here. So,
It's literally Leah Thompson.
Yeah. It's like you come back here and everyone looks like they're in Howard the Duck. It's like Leah Thompson was on our flight. Okay. Let's just get it out of the way. She wasn't. But so Lala is saying that she and her man are there. She's learning tennis. That way she can play it with her man, because this way it's an activity for them. And James is like, oh, yeah, Lala and her man have a lot of common interests. You know, they ride private planes together and they love staying at the Beverly Hilton together on a Wednesday. Just a few daiquiris in me. Hilarious.
So he's like, did you talk to Kata? And she's like, yeah, she asked if I was alive today. And he goes, you know, she just feels like the strange sheep in a corner. She's like, yeah, but you don't think they antagonize her? She's like, you know what, I've tried. And if they want war, their little terrorist pussies can go suicide each other's terrorist pussies. Like, I don't even care. Who's a terrorist? I don't know. I don't care. I'm Switzerland.
At this point, Lala is washing her hands of it. Yeah. And Lala also has this to say. I just can't believe this group of friends. It's like a circus, huh? It's like, Lala. Have you seen your show? Have you seen your show?
She does start going into, like, restaurant manager territory, which actually is a good place to go. But she's like, you know what? Sir, it's like the mothership, okay? It's a fucking mothership. We all are there, and we're all like family because we're at the same restaurant. It's like every manager, you know? They're like, we're family, guys. No, we're not, okay? It's not always one person in the family who gets less allowance and still has to clean up all the dirty plates, you know? It's not the same as a family. Let's stop pretending, people.
Because I'll tell you what a real family is. It's the Britney families. So we go over to Britney's apartment where, like, Tiffany and Sherry and Brittany are sitting at a table, and Jax comes in with sandwiches, and he's got, like, all taco sauce and ketchup and ranch. He's just like, he's like, here you are, you fat fucks. Enjoy your condiments, you know?
Yeah, basically. He's, like, just throwing everything down on the table. He's like, I got everything that isn't completely solid for you to dip your fucking junk food in. Also, I got you all ham sandwiches, so it's, consider it a tutorial in a bag. None of you can still do it right.
Comes with instructions. I don't know if you can follow them along. It's three steps, all in English. But there's pictures to help you along. Take ham out, put on bread, add whatever condiment. Taco sauce, perhaps.
She's like, yeah, but what about the salsa? He's like, okay, I'll get you salsa too. And she's like, oh yeah. If we want margaritas, get your shaker. If we want wings, you better go to Hooters. If we want some salsa, you better go to the fridge. You work for us now, Jax. You are so powerful the way you're making him work past fucking somebody else again. And then turning the AC off on you last time you tried to clean up the goddamn house.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what? What's even worse is that when she said, "Want some wings? Go to Hooters." She didn't even say "go to Hooters." She said, "Get some Hooters." Like,
oh.
Get some Hooters. Like, it's like
he got you.
It's
Hooters.
Like a quantity.
You should go get
it's
him like, wings.
I'm sure people say "get some Hooters," but there's something about saying that which invites like it suggests such a familiarity with a brand. You know, it's
well, it does, but also Jax literally got her Hooters.
Yeah,
so it's literally like got her. I don't know. This is like so sad on so many levels. You know.
So we're cross cutting between Jax and the family with Lala and James at tennis, and Lala's asking James if Logan and Rachel or Raquel are getting along. Because, you know, that's the most important thing right now. Who, like, will the, you know, will Logan, the, I don't know, how do we even describe Logan? Just the mincing sidekick and the vapid girlfriend ever get along? Who knows?
I don't even know.
I don't know.
I don't want to go there. Let's talk about just tires. It sounds like homophobic, you know?
I know. That's why I was like, that's why I started to stop myself. Because I was about to.
It's that kind of thing where you have to start saying, like, look, I'm not homophobic. It's, I don't like you because you're gay. I don't like you because you're you, you know? But then people are like, you're self-hating. And I'm like, no, I hate you. Don't you see the difference?
I think we're allowed to be both. I think we're allowed
I
to
love
both
hating
be,
myself.
We're allowed to be self-loathing, self-loganing, and then we can also not like Logan, right? Like we
Listen,
can.
You're going to be self-loging if you keep this up, Logan.
So Lala is like, yeah, she's basically like, I think that Logan wishes that James were gay, you know? And then James says something like, he's like, well, Logan's my girlfriend, mate. She's like, Raquel's your girlfriend.
He goes, no, that's not what I said. I mean, no, he goes, I said that. And she goes, no, you said that Logan was your girlfriend. He goes, it's because you're twisting things. You're twisting them around. You're twisting them in my mind. I'm like, it doesn't seem very hard to do that, but, yeah. Because if he likes me, then go find a boyfriend or something. You know, I mean, I know he wants me. I mean, honestly, look at me. Ugh.
I'm James Kennedy. I look like a Jack in the Box.
I mean, how can you not want someone that literally looks like one of those wooden dolls you shove your hand up to make them talk?
I look like a discontinued member of the Playmobil family.
How can you not get wood around me when I literally look like I'm made out of wood? So Jax and the sister are talking with Brittany, and she's like, okay, well, I went after that under five, whatever that means, I went to this other bar with Logan, and he told me last night he was sleeping with James, and he didn't act like it was a secret. And Jax is like, God damn, his girlfriend is dumb as a sack of rocks.
That so, was Jax's best moment. He's like, yeah, he literally calls her dumb as rocks.
While Brittany's still sitting there after he's done all this shit again. And he goes, you can tell they're boning. Like, it's on it. I mean, look at them. And then they show clips of them where it's, like, obvious they're boning. And Brittany goes, but he's dating Raquel! I'm like, you remember that you're talking to the man who just fucked Faith.
Yeah. Guys can lead secret lives. I just like that speculating about James and Logan is the one thing that brings all these people together. You know, it's like the first moment they are all laughing together is being like, God, that Raquel, she's dumb as rocks, isn't she? And they're like, ha, 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 ha. Like, we agree. And we don't even know what sparkling water is.
Like, hating on James brings every family together.
Yeah, it really does.
Maybe that's what everybody should start talking about around the Thanksgiving table every year in America instead of politics.
Bring it back together, families of America. Hello, this is Lisa Vanderpump. We are taking a commercial break now, but if you don't hear one, don't worry. You're very lucky.
So Vanderpump Office...
Speaking of breaking bread...
Katie comes in and starts literally breaking bread with her head. So Vanderpump's like, look! Look at all the loaves of bread I've got. Paper bags and bags full of bread. Oh, look at Katie, who's shown up out of nowhere. Sniff it, Katie, sniff it. All right, don't crawl into it. Where's Katie gone?
Smells like being in a French market. Not that you would know. You've never gone past the Mississippi. Where's Gina? I'm going to get her a croissant. Katie has literally entered her entire body and soul into focaccia. I want to cut a piece off, but I don't want to hurt Katie. My least favorite kind of journalism is focaccia journalism.
Sorry, so stupid.
Peter,
I would like some butter, please. Here, I'm just going to butter this slice of French bread, and it's for you!
So Tom, too, is like, God, I'm sure hungover. And she's like, well, what on earth were you going on about over there? Was it Sherry's bra? Because I couldn't stop looking at it either, but I didn't know what to say. Is that a thing? And he's like, you know, it was like totally disrespectful what I did to Sheena. But and she goes, why are you saying it like you're proud, Tom? And he's like, because I thought you'd be happy I stood up for Katie. And she goes, for the first time ever.
Let me manhandle this bread for emphasis. By the way, that bread looked remarkable. I want to know where she got it from because I really need to go to that bakery.
Yeah, it looked good. So she's like, all right, well, Katie, here's this chick. Start writing numbers down on it. It's for you, Katie. Welcome back from Focaccia Land. How was it there? Who's the mayor?
Who's the mayor of Focaccia Land? All right, Katie, are you done with those numbers? Guess what? Because they're for you, Peter! Misdirection!
So they talk about Jax a little, and then Vanderpump does her typical,
Jax Taylor will work any angle to get some. That's how he works. Jax Taylor, full name. Jax, i.e. Jason Taylor.
I'm like, why do you still employ this man? You're admitting that he's like manipulative, he's evil, he's got no standards. You've seen him steal booze from you. Why do you employ him?
It's the only way I truly feel like Vanderpump Sangria flies off the shelves.
So Tom Schwartz starts theorizing about Jax and Brittany and why she's staying with him. And he's like, well, it's like the sunken cost fallacy. At which point I'm like, whoa. I can't believe that Tom knows this concept. He's like, yeah, you know, when you have too much invested to let go of something, so you hold on to it until it sinks, that's what's called, right? And then they just show Lisa Vanderpump staring at the two of them, being like, hey, are you sure you want to go down this path right now? Some cost fallacy.
Now listen, Katie, when I gave you that audiobook of Who Moved My Cheese, I told you not to play it around Tom Schwartz.
It's like a business book. It's a sunken cost fallacy. It's why I married Katie.
Oh, all right. I get it now. Oh.
So they go boxing, and Guillermo's apparently a big boxer with his face. Guillermo, with what the hell are you face. Doing with your face?
Yeah. I know. His face is humongous. I know. His face is wig. I don't know. Yeah, Guillermo, he's just going through it. But you know what, though? He's still with Nathalie, so I'm happy.
Yeah, he's still hot.
Yeah. Could you please tell the listeners about Tom Sandoval's this week's moment of zen with Tom Sandoval?
Yeah, he's like,
hey, you want to do some jump rope, bro? I got my own. Yeah, I jump because I wrestled in high school. And, like, people come up to me and they're like, challenge me to a jump off. And, like, I don't know what that's about. To this day, I've never lost.
I'm sure they come up and challenge you. You keep a fucking jump rope in your pocket. And you know he does. You know next time you see him, if you're like, do you want to have a jump off? You wouldn't even say that. He would. He'd be like, jump up, bro. Got one in my pocket. Want to have a jump off?
Well, it's probably a girl comes up to him and is like, I want to be your jump off. He's like, all right, here we go. No, I want to sleep with you. No, doing a jump off now. She's like, never mind.
That's why he's never caught cheating with anybody, because he's literally doing jump offs.
Anytime someone like tries to hit on him, he just thinks it's a challenge to jump rope.
Yeah.
Like, that girl says I jumped her bones. No, I didn't. I jumped her off. Okay, like skippy skippy mama's trippy, you know, like duh. All right, let me show you how to do it, bro. You're doing it wrong.
You know, I totally believe that this is something that happens based on when we went to Walter and Katie's wedding, when Tom and I wound up in a swim across the swimming pool challenge with all underwater, and then he beat me. Not only did he beat me, he's really good at challenges, but he also crashed into the wall and got a scar now from our, like, underwater challenges. So I see this totally happening.
He'll always challenge you. He'll challenge anybody to anything. He'll be like, whoa, look, here we are at a Costco sample platter. Who do you think can eat more samples? Me or you?
Dude,
all right, let's go.
Dude, who do you think can unravel this paperclip faster? Dude, I'll do it.
But I love how he rewords it to be, everybody's just challenging me to jump rope. I have no idea why. So basically, this is just a scene for the guys to not have to shower again and go to talk shit. So James is there, too. And he's like, you know what was crazy about Katie's Potter? Like, okay, street. Like, why are you, what are you going to try and convince people that suddenly you're from the poor streets? They've already known you for years, dude. Get your accent back.
Yeah. So they're outside. They're talking shit about Kristen. Like, crazy Kristen. She's back. She never left. People think she's gone. She never left. Good. And
that
so
bitch is still loony.
So Jax is like, so James, basically Logan has been telling people that you guys are sleeping together. And James is like, well, Logan would never say that. No, Logan would never say that. I'm like, it's sort of weird that his response was like, what? Instead of Logan would never say that.
Like, yes. He's like, but Logan knows that I was asleep then. Didn't he? He would never say that. Also, the way that Jax tells the story, he's like, Logan went out with the sister, and then he like started sobbing in the car, dude, like sobbing, like, and then cutting his thighs and then like sobbing, and like he tried to jump out of the car. She was like, get back in here, what's going on? He like couldn't take it, so like he's tried to hang himself like with the pine cone freshener in the front seat. It's like, Jax, where did you get all these details? Because I don't think this is the story you heard, dude.
Yeah, and so James is like, yes, I have a girlfriend, I'm very straight, and I'm very much in love with her, because I'm super straight, girl. And when I say girl, I mean like seductive girl, not like, hey girl.
He's like, I'm not going to sit here and say how much I like pussy. Everyone knows from Lauren Gomez to blah, blah, blah. I love that he's the second person now to name every whore hostess that's been on the show, you know. And he goes, I'm James fucking Kennedy. And then Tom number two goes, there's a 77% chance his penis has been in Logan's mouth. So at the restaurant, Peter's like, Brittany! Because these people don't actually work, you know? Yeah. She's like, hi, it's me! Where am I? And he's like, at sir. No!
I was going to get some Hooters. Yeah, where am I? He's like, okay, I'm going to have you work on the patio. I was like, oh, phooey, I wanted to work the pink room. That's my favorite.
He's like, you're going to have to fight Kristen over it. Or Katie for it. And she's like, no way. I learned from Ranch. You never win with that girl. So Stassi and Kristen come in. They're like, it's weird seeing these girls be so nice to Lala all of a sudden.
I know, it is strange.
What Ariana says, did she already say this or does she say it later?
Maybe, I don't know.
I think she said at one point, she's like, look, if I wanted to be a really believing person, I'd say, sure, Katie's just over there being nice to Lala because she's turned over a new leaf. But the let's be real, she's doing it because she's a total bitch. She got a terrible reputation last season, and now she's doing damage control and trying to be nice to one of the most popular people on the show.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
Which is a good call.
It is a good call. And it's true. So, yeah. So Stassi and Kristen show up and they sit in Brittany's section. And then, like, Brittany goes over there. And then immediately Stassi just turns and goes, Logan. And then Brittany basically launches into the story of Logan and James. I just love the way Stassi doesn't even say, so I heard there was some story about Logan or whatever. She just goes, Logan, fill me in AF.
Full man.
Oh yeah, because Lala's there.
And then so she's got her own story. She's like, then they were in a car, and then the Uber driver was like, you guys look so cute. Like, everyone has such a different version of the story. But basically, she gets it out, and Lala's like, have I been in a situation where I think Logan wants more? Yes. Does Lala need her mama? Yes. Were those menus wiped down before you got them at your table from me? No, but this isn't really my job. And then Kristen is like, do I think that James like wants to do guys all the time? No. Do I think James has waited in the penis pond? Yes. It's like, is anybody else going to ask themselves a question? Like, can you form a thought that's not yourself asking yourself a question? Come on.
And have we really thought about what a penis pond looks like? Because it's kind of disturbing if you think about it. Just a big pond of penises.
I think if anybody knows, it would be Kristen.
So we go over to James and Raquel, who are at some sort of wine place called, like, the Mixing Bar. And
God, what a place to go to when your boyfriend might be bisexual.
She's like, what percentage of Cabernet do you want in your penis and vagina?
So we really like this Voignier. It really sort of goes both ways. You know, like, it's a little sweet. It's a little spicy, you know. It's perfect for everyone.
This is delicious. Just don't tell anyone I liked it. She's like, oh, this makes total sense.
Excuse me, sommelier. Do you mind calling me tomorrow to tell everyone how much I disliked this wine? Thank you very much.
Tell people that I was asleep when I drank it.
Thank you. Thank you. But it is delicious.
So Raquel, who really is one of the dumbest people in the world, and the green contacts aren't helping. Okay?
And that's on Vanderpump. If you are one of the dumbest people on Vanderpump Rules, like, if you are, I think you are, she actually qualifies as the dumbest one. And this is a show that has Brittany on it and others.
Yeah.
You know, you're not doing so well.
Yeah, it's sad. She goes,
are you here?
Like, okay. Okay, so he's like, no, I'm not here. I'm in shock. I feel so weird. He goes, how do you feel? And she's like,
I feel uncomfortable about the thing. I told you, like, everyone said they're fucking my boyfriend. Like, it's like the whole world is claiming to have sex with James Kennedy.
And then doesn't he say the whole world wants to have sex with James Kennedy? Something like that?
Oh, James motherfucking Kennedy, girl. I find Toyota keys in the dog parks while they sing. She's like, yeah.
He's like, Raquel, let me explain everything, okay? Oh, look, a glass. I couldn't think of a distraction fast enough. I'm like, she's so dumb. And I'm like,
She's like, you turned green.
He's like, those are your contacts, dear.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, so Jax goes to dinner or lunch with sister and the mom for his apology stuff. And the waiter's like, sparkling or flat? And the sister goes,
flat water. She goes, I've never had sparkling water. And Jax goes, it has bubbles. And she says, I didn't know it was called that.
He goes, it's just soda water. She's like, oh, why don't they just call it that then? He's like, oh, he does this thing with his hand. He's like, I can't believe I have to sit here with these idiots. So then he does like the most perfunctory apology tour, you know, where he starts saying, like, he's like, you know, I'm like really, you know, I was caught off guard, but I'm like really glad that Kristen brought you guys in. It was really good. And then it's like cuts him an interview being like, I was not glad at all, you know?
Yeah. And he's like, I don't want to go into details about every little thing. She goes, well, I need details, Jax. And he's like, well, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to sit here and harp on your daughter. But it's like, she eats. She eats and she sleeps all day. And then she eats and then she sleeps all day, you know? And so I fucked Faith in some old lady's house. Like, duh.
But I love the way Brittany looks. It's not about the way she looks. She looks great. It's just that she sleeps and she's lazy. But I'm not going to bag on her. A little slow. She doesn't get me Hooters. You know, she doesn't make me ham and cheese sandwiches. I'm not going to bag on her. She looks great. But it wasn't about the act. It was just like, I don't know. It's just what I do, you know? And they're like,
what an asshole. Only Jax would be like, you know, I cheated on your daughter because it was her fault. So you're paying for the lunch, right?
And Sherry only had one good moment here because he's like, you know, she just sleeps until one and then like eats and sleeps. And then Sherry's like, well, what do you do with your time? He's like, well, you know, jerk off, find other people to have sex with, jerk off some more.
On Faith.
Yeah.
We've already found out that it wasn't only one time, so he's still fucking lying.
Yeah.
And Sherry, pretending to be a good mother, is like,
oh, he don't like himself.
He's like, I don't. I'm a selfish, terrible person.
Oh, JX, remember when you did things like for my son?
Yeah.
I gave you a second chance, and I love you. Here's your 19th second chance.
And he's like, nailed it. Fuck you, Kristen.
Yeah, he knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly what to say, which is like, take full ownership. So like, sick. I'm a terrible person. I'm an awful guy. I'm worthless. I don't even like myself. I hate myself. I don't. And like, no, don't hate yourself, Jax. No. Oh, see, now this is the thing. He only does these things because he doesn't feel like he's good enough for you.
He's not. Sometimes you just listen. Listen to Maya Angelou. Okay, people tell you who they are in the first 5 seconds. Listen to them. They are not lying.
Yeah, and so then the next day, when Sherry's packing up to leave, she tells Brittany, like, you know, the good thing is that Jax can admit that he's an awful human being, and that's why I'm willing to give him another chance, and I think you should too, because he can admit it. I'm like, who the fuck cares if he can admit it? He's got to change himself, and he's never going to.
I love that he doesn't even pretend this season, because he used to pretend, remember? Yeah. He's like, I'm really going to change and this and that. And they cut to him and he goes, yeah, Kristen, your plan didn't work. I won. He's such an asshole. So over at Brittany's house,
James comes over
and has to hear from the sister her version of the story. She tells pretty much the same version.
Yeah.
And she's like, and he just said, welcome to Hollywood. And James goes, what a creep. What a creep. He's a creep. He's a weirdo. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What the James hell is like, he doing here? Wiggy, wiggy.
Welcome to Hollywood. Doesn't he know the break room is in Koreatown? Oh, he's a liar. He's a liar. So they're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call him girl. I'm going to call him right now. Don't say anything. I don't want him to know that you're here. I'm like, well, you're putting it on speakerphone and they're snickering. And I'm sure he can hear the sound of the Frito bags, you know, crackling. So James calls up Logan and he opens up the phone call being like, so girl, what's it you say? You say you're sleeping with me, girl. Like, welcome to Hollywood, girl. And Logan's like, it's a lie. I'm just a jealous bitch. I'm in love with you. I was all a lie because I'm a jealous bitch. James is like, you're a piece of shit. You're a piece of shit. And hangs up.
Now, but I love that they had already fought about it. Because he said, you also said, welcome to Hollywood. Yeah. So they'd already had the conversation. It's obvious that Logan's like, okay, I'll take it back.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I actually did not think James was gay. But this conversation is what made me think it. Because you would think you would think that the fight would be, like, you think there'd be more shock, you think there'd be more surprise. It was more like, okay, I will say this stuff, I am going to take it all back on camera so that your reputation is saved. Like, it felt a little too prearranged for me by James.
Yeah, I don't know, who knows about this? Everybody's probably sexuality fluid. Is so crazy now, I can't even tell. But I do know that maybe he does not want to hook up with James all the time, but sometimes has. And just doesn't want everyone to know because he doesn't want to be the gay one at work. If he doesn't want to be gay.
Which I support.
Yeah, I do too. I don't really give a shit.
He should just, listen, have Raquel, have Logan.
But
don't cheat on Raquel unless she's cool with it.
Yeah, but that said, you know, you can't, if you're hanging out with a guy who says straight up, I'm in love with you and you're in love with me, and then on camera is making jokes about the cum stains on your carpet and basically outing you left and right and then trying to make out with you on camera and stuff like that. A, he's gross, Logan. But also B, like, you're kind of leading somebody on, dude. I mean, I know it's Logan and he's gross and everything, but still, you're leading him on and that's not cool either. You can't just take somebody who you know is in love with you and just keep leading them on and then saying, it's because I'm not gay. Well, you're gay enough to be with Logan all day, every day, kissing him and getting your ears made out with. So stop leading him on, dude.
So then James starts to sniffle and sort of cry, talk about how he just lost a friend. And he starts like, no one's a fucking friend in this town. No one. And the girls are just sitting there going, sorry. And they don't get up to hug him or anything. He just walks out like, bye. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. I was like, yeah, good friends right there. They're like, yeah, it's true. No one's a real friend here. Bye.
Good call. Bye.
They don't be like, oh, James, like, we're sorry you lost your best friend. There's like no sympathy. They're like, sorry. It was so cruel.
Yeah, it was. And I'm laughing, but I felt for James, kind of.
Well,
and
I don't know.
When I feel for James. I really do.
I don't know.
Because I don't believe that he can fake cry. Do you?
I do believe he can. I do. Of course he can. I don't feel for James in this situation because to me it felt like a show. I'm not saying he's necessarily gay, but it felt like he was trying to save face in some way.
Yeah, me too.
And then he just, because it was also quick. They even said it was quick because he comes in, he has the conversation, and then he leaves. And even Jax is like, whoa, it's done already? Like, I don't think, if it was like a real thing, and it was a real, you know, like heartbreaking, like I just lost my friend, that shit would not be a 5-minute phone call and then you leave the apartment. That would be like, you sit there, you talk, I don't know. So, I just liked, so he leaves, Jax is like, whoa, that was quick. That was, because Jax went off to the store or something. And then it's time for Tiffany to leave. And I love this. Brittany is like hugging Tiffany goodbye. She's like, bye, I love you, I miss you so much. And Tiffany is holding a floppy piece of string cheese the entire time. She's like holding it. It's like getting in Tiffany's hair. But she's like, Brittany's like, I love you, but I don't love you enough to put down this cheese right now.
Well, you know, that's how Brittany shows her love.
Yes.
And that's pretty much it, yeah?
Yeah. It ends with basically Brittany deciding that forgiveness is the best decision, and there's a close-up of Brittany and Jax kissing. And then next week, Kevin Lee calls Katie fat. So,
and then Jax goes back to that Reiki hoe and he's like, you know, call me Jason. She's like, okay, Jason, and hugs him. So now he's not only going to cheat on Brittany, he's going to do it on camera with some Reiki hoe.
With Reiki.
Oh my God. Shaky Reiki. What a terrible fucking human being.
So good. Thank you for doing it all on TV for us, Jax. You're a terrible human being, but you are the most generous person on this show for giving us just lots of content.
Oh my God.
All right, everyone. We love this show. We love you. Come to our shows. WatchCrabbins.com. We're going to be back tomorrow to talk some Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, darling.
Darling, we'll see you then.
So long. Farewell. Auf Wiedersehen.
Goodbye, darling.
Alice Lowe, Ben Wheatley, Sally Potter, Sean Baker, Colin Farrell, Claire Foy, Florence Pugh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Rugano Nyoni. We could go on, but these are just some of the trailblazing artists, directors, writers we've spoken to on the Barbican Film Podcast. We continue to explore a world of films, old and new, through exclusive interviews and insights as we head towards awards season. Plus, delve into the Barbican Screen Talk archive. Search for the Barbican Film Podcast on Acast.